Welcome to Inspired Living with Mark Lanehart, the intuitive prospector. Every Wednesday, Mark, along with his special guests, will explore thought-provoking topics and ideas that promote creativity, self-help, healing, happiness, and well-being to inspire you on your spiritual journey. Each week, Mark will discuss different paths to achieving a more spiritual, balanced, happy, and healthy lifestyle. Topics will elevate consciousness and range from metaphysics to the human and social experience and all things spiritual. Welcome to an inspired community that offers support, encouragement, and new ways of thinking. Mark is a tested, certified, and professional spiritual medium, metaphysical teacher, healer, and spiritual advisor with a spiritual practice based in Seattle, Washington. You are the inspired and the inspiration.
Buddha reminds us to teach this simple truth to all. A generous heart, kind speech, and a life of service and compassion are the things which renew humanity. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever you may be in this magical, magnanimous, magnificent, majestic, marvelous, metaphysical, miraculous, mind-awakening, mind-boggling, and mind-blowing planet of ours. This is Inspired Living Radio. I'm your host, Mark Lanehart, the intuitive prospector, here with you yet again for another soul adventure and an inspiring episode to explore, discuss, and discover the many diamonds within each and every one of us and the many diamonds in our world that have yet to be revealed. So get comfortable, grab your favorite drink, kick back, sit back, or lie back, take in a nice, deep, healing, peaceful, and cleansing breath, and let us prospect together as we discuss today's show topic, The Path, and many ways to meditate. And I always like to say, dare to dream, dare to explore, dare to live and discover that diamond within. I do want to give a big shout out and thank you to all of our inspired listeners from around the globe, the universe, and beyond. My team and I here at Inspired Living Radio are so very humbled and grateful to you for listening, downloading, subscribing, leaving reviews, and voting to make Inspired Living Podcast a top 100 ranked inspirational show to follow and listen to for the last 3 years running now, and we do appreciate you. If you haven't yet subscribed to Inspired Living, there's a few ways that you can do that, and there's still time to do that over on our main social media platforms at Facebook. You're going to want to look for the Inspired Living Radio and Podcast Group Community page, where we have our listeners from all around the planet. You can also follow us over on Instagram and Twitter. Just look for the name Inspired For Us. That's the number 4, or our YouTube channel, Inspired Living Radio, and we are now streaming through Audible or your favorite podcasting platforms, or now you can simply say, Alexa, open up Inspired Living Podcast to play the latest episode. So we like to say you are the inspired and the inspiration, and to be inspired, to inspire others, and to inspire before we expire. Are we ready to go prospecting? I know I am. Let's go. So today we have our special guest joining us for the first time. Her name is Dina Kaplan, and she's going to discuss The Path. And it's our approach to meditations for the modern mind to explore and discover our true path to health, happiness, peace, and truth. And we always like to say, as the Bhagavad Gita reminds us, when meditation is mastered, the mind is unwavering like the flame of a candle in a windless place. So I want to read a little bit about Dina and her journey. She is the founder and CEO and a certified meditation teacher who teaches meditation and guides retreats around the world. Before finding The Path, Dina was the co-founder and chief operating officer, the CEO, of a tech startup called Blip.tv in web video. Before Blip, Dina was an Emmy award-winning television news reporter for local NBC stations. And prior to reporting, Dina worked as an associate producer for MTV News and at the White House as director of research for the Office of the White House Counsel. Dina was named one of Fortune magazine's most powerful women entrepreneurs and Fast Company's most influential women of Web 2.0. She also has a column about meditation for entrepreneurs on Forbes.com and has written articles for the New York Times, Today.com, Time Magazine's Moto, Marie Claire, Medium, Town and Country, and more. Dina loves languages. You can speak to her in Italian. Hosting dinner parties in the teeny Sicilian island of Panaria. Am I saying that right, Dina? How do you pronounce that?
We can go with Panarea, but I'm sure they've heard worse and will accept all.
Panarea. Okay, I love it. So Dina is also a certified meditation teacher, and again, she leads meditations at the world at conferences all around the world, from large to small group, brands, corporation, and individuals in Japan, Kazakhstan, Mexico, Ireland, across the U.S., and elsewhere in Asia, in Europe. And she has studied and practiced dozens of meditation techniques, which we're going to talk about today. And you also run The Path, which is a certified meditation teacher training program since 2015, which is now renowned for cultivating community and for teaching Buddhist wisdom in an inspiring and relatable way, so it impacts your daily life in a wonderfully positive way. This program offers tons of experience, guided meditation, so you feel comfortable guiding a variety of mindfulness and compassion meditations when you graduate. So this is the right place to talk about this here on Inspired Living. Dina, welcome to Inspired Living, and let's talk all about, for the next hour, meditations, The Path, what's going on in our world, how can meditation help us, but welcome.
Thank you so much. That was the best intro I think I've ever had in my life. So, I tip my head or hat, whatever that expression is, to you and also to your community. What an incredible group of inspired and inspirational people. So I'm excited to be with everyone and to be with you.
Yes. Well, thank you so much. We strive here to bring that inspiration and positivity and encouragement into our world. Our world needs it more now than ever before. And tell the listening audience a little bit about you. I kind of covered it in your mini bio, but congratulations on your Emmy Award winning. I actually have a family member that is also in the news business and has won an Emmy Award in his journey of journalism. So congratulations on that. But it sounds like you left all that behind and went on a new soul adventure of your own. You want to share that with our listening audience?
Yeah, for sure. So the Emmy, thank you for saying that. I think most of my closest friends have no idea that I won an Emmy because I never talk about it. And it is somewhere in storage now. I should bring that thing out and at least put it in the bathroom or the kitchen or above the fridge or something. So I left TV reporting behind to found a tech company. I was actually not CEO, but COO, so close, and definitely all the stress and less of the glamour of that role, and left all that behind, which was probably an even bigger deal because you might say in some ways, and there's plenty of bad to follow this, so I'm not boasting, but you might say I was kind of the toast of the tech world in New York at that time. It was the emergence of the tech scene in New York that now has Etsy. At the time, it was Tumblr, Rent the Runway, Guilt Group. Mm-hmm. But there were very few. When I co-founded Blip, there were very few women founders. And there were really none on the East Coast other than myself and one other woman who is running a publication, a digital publication. So strong, but less scalable in many ways. So I got a lot of opportunities with that. I was in the press every day. I was speaking at all these fancy conferences. My life from the outside, Mark, and you and probably many of your listeners could relate to this. My life from the outside looked amazing. I was held up as this role model for women entrepreneurs and really in a way all entrepreneurs. But the whole time I was playing this role that everything was okay when it really wasn't, because on the inside, what I didn't share really with anyone was that I was a mess. I mean, I was really a mess, and you would never have known it by looking at me. I did my hair every day, my makeup, I, wore clothes that looked good. But on the inside, I was falling apart, and it got so bad, Mark, that I started having panic attacks. And I mean constantly. And it was so intense that I couldn't walk down a street in New York. We were based in New York by myself because I wasn't sure I would literally make it across the street. And I couldn't even take the subway. So I was on a startup salary, not making a ton of money. I had to take a taxi cab literally everywhere that I went if I was not with someone else, because I was never sure if I might have a panic attack and just pass out. So it was an incredible, you would say, kind of like a cognitive dissonance. It was just a huge break between what my life looked like and what it actually was. And in the end, one day when I was across the street from my office in Soho in Lower Manhattan, I looked across the street to at my office, I just needed to cross the friggin' street, and I couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it. I wasn't sure I'd make it to the other side. And in that moment, my intuition finally spoke to me. And it was like this voice mark that came through me that said, you've got to get out of here, and you've got to live the opposite life in the opposite way, and you've got to act right away. So I was the face of the company at this point. I had raised $1 gazillion for the company. I was super operational, and I left it all behind. I left everything behind, and I ended up taking, I didn't know it at the time, but I ended up getting on a plane, you know, doing a whole transition with the board, leaving the company, all the press, all the accolades, all the conferences, all the boondoggles, everything, and took a 2.5-year trip around the world to gain the confidence to be myself and to get healthy again.
Wow. Definitely a true soul adventure. And that's, you know, that's not easy to do, to take that leap of faith. But I'm always one to say, if you don't risk it, there's no biscuit. And you probably saved your life and longevity of your life as far as just mental health, physical health, by being able to do that. Because our listeners out there that are listening to today's show, I guarantee you they've also had that inner voice, that higher self, your intuition, whatever you want to call it, you know, that speaks to us. The question always becomes, are we listening? And yeah, are we willing to move past fear, which I always say fear is false evidence appearing real, to move past that fear of failure, or fear of, you know, what if I don't get this right, or how can I leave all these accolades and, you know, prestigious things that I am doing, but in the inside, I'm literally just wasting away. And a couple seasons ago, we had the honor of interviewing the great Don Miguel Ruiz, and we talked about his book, The Actor, about how really great actors we can be, and we smile and put our masks on the outside, but on the inside, it's just the opposite. And it's about what your free will and choice allows you to do, but also the courage to follow through with that leap of faith, or, you know, to be able to risk it, to get the biscuit, or even the three-season life that I go by. Make a choice, take a chance, see the change. So congratulations on that transformation of finding that diamond within and the caterpillar becoming the butterfly. So good for you. Kudos.
Thank you, Mark. There is so much wisdom in there. This is just awesome.
Thank you. Well, yes. I've been doing this for a while. So let's drill down a little bit deeper. You know, meditation is something that has influenced my life, and I didn't come to it easily. I came to it, actually, I tell my listeners that I came to meditation through graduate studies here at the University of Washington, here in Seattle, Washington. And it was a course based on visualization, manifestation, and meditations for the professional athlete, because I was taking my course in sports medicine. That's what I was going to graduate in. And during that course, I started to have different meditations led by a professor who had come up from Stanford to finish the course out for us, because our teacher was actually in a car accident and couldn't finish. But I didn't know that he had a background in spirituality, right? So that he can't say that as a professor. But we started having all of these different meditative, you know, tension release meditation, mindful meditation, walking meditation, sitting still meditation. And it was from that point that my mind and my journey and my life changed. So let's talk about what you went on, this leap of faith and the risk you took to, you know, you risked it to get the biscuit. Let's talk about the path. Tell us about the path, what it offers, and what it can do for people that are listening to today's show.
Yeah. So during that 2.5-year trip, just to bring us up to the modern time, I ended up meeting a cute guy on a plane as I landed in India, and he invited me to join a retreat. I didn't really know what he was talking about. I thought he was asking me on a date. I was single at the time. So I said yes. And it turned out he took me to a 12-day silent gender segregated Vipassana retreat in India. Yeah, it was the worst date of all time, for sure. But on that retreat, my voice of intuition spoke again to me, and I saw patterns in my life that I'd had since I was a little kid that weren't serving me, but I just hadn't been aware of them. So I, with, you know, 10 hours of meditation a day in complete silence, I tapped into that inner wisdom saw that those patterns were not serving me. They were actually hurting me, and realized I could essentially just gain the confidence to say what was on my mind rather than trying to be pleasing my entire life. And the minute I had that intuition, it was like this flash of lightning just sort of shot through me from my feet and exploded above my head. And again, I had this voice say to me, "You are going to come out of this retreat a better person, and everyone should have the chance to do this, but it doesn't need to be this hard. When you come back to the United States," again, I was in India at the time, "you sure. will start a company. You will be part of the movement that brings meditation to the mainstream, and you will start a company and you will call it The Path." I was like, oh my goodness, what? Like, the one thing I never wanted to do was run a company again, that for sure. Two, I really didn't know much about meditation at the time because I was just at the beginning of my own spiritual journey. But three, I thought, how on earth am I going to get that URL? Like, whoa, thepath.com, that feels hard to get. So, you know, always an entrepreneur. You can laugh at me and with me for that intuition that I had. But I ended up traveling all around the world studying different types of meditation. I actually just did, Mark, a 7-day silent retreat in India on the Bhagavad Gita, even though what I'm teaching is Theravada Buddhism, which we can talk about. So I love that you started this hour with a reference to the Bhagavad Gita, and it was a beautiful quote. So thank you for that. So I went all around. I was studying Vedic meditation with the wisdom from the Vedas. I studied Kriya Yoga at the Art of Living Ashram in Bangalore. I went all over. And when I finally felt like, okay, with some integrity, I can start a company in meditation, I launched The Path and flew back to the U.S. And so we've evolved a lot. That was many years ago. But now we do three main things. And one of the biggest things we do is actually coming up. So I'm excited to share this with you and with people in your community because there's still a chance to join us. So on that first retreat in India, we had no soap, no toilet paper, no hot water, and no shower. And it was 40 degrees Celsius, so about 120 degrees Fahrenheit. Oh, geez. And it was wild. I mean, it was so hot. I thought I was going to die. And there was no air conditioning. So thought, you know, we can do this, but it doesn't need to be in these conditions. So I created basically the opposite of that, Mark. And it's called Mela. So it's like Mother May, I-M-E-L-A, which means to gather in Sanskrit. And it's a beautiful retreat. So like my first Vipassana, we have extraordinary teachers. I always bring in two of the best teachers in the world. And we teach the ancient, beautiful Buddhist wisdom with meditation, but it's in a beautiful place. So we're actually doing the next one at a 5-star resort in Mexico, where I am speaking to you from right now. It's on the beach, and yeah, so we're about 62% sold out now, but we do have some spots on that. And if anyone's interested, I'd love to talk to you. You can just email me at sit is another word for meditation. So SIT at The Path, which is the name of my company, thepath.com. I did get the domain. It took a year, but I did get it. or if you go to the site, it's basically just thepath.com/Mela apply. And the idea is, you know, we can learn meditation. So it's for people, whether you're brand new or advanced. I'm sure your audience has both and everything in between. Sure. So it's really for all levels. But you can have a retreat with gorgeous Buddhist wisdom, beautiful, impactful, powerful meditations, but do it somewhere beautiful and have great people around you. So it's all curated. And it turns out that it works, and people come away and say, "This was the best thing I've ever done in my entire life." So that's very rewarding.
Oh, I love that. And is The Path, is it just The Path, or is that an acronym for anything? Or is that just what was revealed to you when you were doing this silent retreat? Is that an acronym, or?
Yeah, it frigging came through me. No. So I did get thepath.com.
Okay.
So the company is called The Path. So The Path is a key part, one of the foundational elements of Buddhist wisdom. So talking about this, it got me all choked up with emotion here, Mark. The first speech that the Buddha gave after becoming enlightened was he actually had the confidence to go back to this group of friends who had kind of eschewed him. Like, they kind of thought he wasn't cool because he didn't want to live in a super aesthetic way. Kind of like me going on that India retreat and thinking, like, this is so powerful, but could we not have air conditioning or maybe toilet paper? Right, you know, like, right. Does that enhance the experience? So I don't want to put myself in the Buddha's shoes. But the Buddha also thought, like, I don't need to live with one rice kernel a day. I don't need to sleep on the ground. Like, that, it's not helping me with the meditation and acquiring this wisdom. So he kind of eschewed that ascetic path and left his friends, and they thought that he was not cool for doing that. So after he became enlightened, he actually went back to them, which I think takes an incredible amount of confidence. And he gave his big talk, which was the Four Noble Truths, which is essentially saying that naturally there's suffering in life or dissatisfaction. We can all relate to that. The second one is there's a cause for that. The third noble truth is there is a way out of that. Feel the good news. And the fourth noble truth is that it's called the path. So the way out of suffering is the path. Now, sadly, the Buddha did not name this concept after my company, but we named the company after that. And then the path is also known as the noble path or the eightfold path. And essentially, the path is shorthand for here are the steps to bring you, like everyone, even you, away from suffering and towards freedom.
I love that. And I love the, you know, I meditate every day, and there's a difference between solo meditation and then being in a group workshop with like-minded people, whether they're advanced or whether they're just beginning. You can definitely, it's palpable. It's definitely a much more enhanced experience when we, even when I do my group meditations, I can feel the difference between that and a solo meditation. Now, you jumped in the deep in the pool because you went with a 12-day silent retreat. That is not for the faint of heart. That is definitely can be very difficult. And I don't know if that ended up turning into your first date, but that's an interesting. If it ended up being a first date, you know, going on a 12-day silent meditation, I'm sure that was pretty interesting for you. But for our listeners,
well,
out there.
For the record, I was too afraid to talk to the guy afterwards. So it was not, he completely, completely changed my life. And I was so kind of overwhelmed with it all that, what can I tell you? That I was too afraid. I went to him, so it was gender segregated. So I would kind of crane my neck to look over to the boys section. He was never craning his neck to look over at me, let me assure you that. And at the end of the retreat, I did see him and I was so nervous. I was sure during the retreat, I'm like, oh, we're going to get married and have kids and this is it. Like, I'm done.
That's where I thought you were going with this.
Oh yeah, for sure. I was like, there's no question that we're getting married and having babies together. And at the end of the retreat, I was just too afraid to talk to him. I finally went over and said, where are you going? And he said, I'm going to Dharamsala to meet the Dalai Lama, or, you know, to study with the Dalai Lama. And I said, oh, I'm going to the Taj Mahal. And then I just walked away and that was it. And I never saw this guy again. So I definitely have to write the book so that I can find this guy and tell him, because he not only changed my life, but now he's changed the life of so many people, like hundreds of thousands of people, because we also have a teacher training course that we'll talk about. Yeah. So yeah, I've got to find this guy.
Well, and then you have to sometimes question too, was he an actual guy or was he there for a reason and a season to put you on that path, quote unquote, to have that 12 days of silence? You know what I mean? It's like some refer to it as earth angels, the ascended masters, the inspirers from a spiritual standpoint. It's like, okay, was he a real person or was he just there at that time in my life to help me get there?
100%. He was my Pied Piper. I mean, dramatically changed my life. Oh, yeah.
And I'm just curious, because I go to Mexico every year. We have a place down in the Baja. Where are you at in Mexico?
Oh, well, so I am calling you from, I'm between Playa del Carmen and Cancun. So I've been in Playa del Carmen for about a week and a half, and I need to actually fly back to New York to lead. Oh, so the third thing that we do, and then we'll get to the second thing, is we lead meditations for companies. And so the Four Seasons just hired us to guide meditations to wine and dine from travel agents and potential clients. So I'm really excited for that. Actually, what we're doing is, this is very meta, but I am leaving Mexico in order to fly to New York to lead meditations to market the Four Seasons hotels in Mexico. Isn't that bizarre?
Nice.
two travel agents based in New York. So yeah, it's so funny. So we're leading the meditations for the Four Seasons Punta Maya. Our retreat, Mela, is at this gorgeous resort in Cancun called the Nizuc, but it doesn't even feel like you're in Cancun. It feels like you're in Asia, like at an Aman resort. Right. It's really elegant. So I'm really excited for that. But yeah, right now I'm in Mayacopa, which is not so bad. Mayacopa. So don't feel any sympathy for me right now.
No, especially with that beautiful blue water in the Yucatan that you're experiencing. So nice guided meditation on the beach with that crystal clear blue water sounds amazing. So
yeah, that was my evening last night. Granted, I have been working a lot because Mela is about to come up. So we have a gazillion logistics with that. But I can't complain. I'm grateful to be in Mexico for sure.
Yeah. Well, let's do this for our listeners, because our listeners tune in from all around the globe, so no pressure. And, you know, the first thing that I want to remind our listeners, I always go back to Eckhart Tolle when he talks about awareness is the greatest agent for change. So if you're listening to us today or you catch us on a podcast over at a later date, it starts with being in that present moment. And Buddha talked about this. Buddha talked about not dwelling in the past, do not dream of the future, concentrate the mind on the present moment. And I was hoping today, Dina, that you could kind of lead us through an example. We're not going to take any breaks today on today's show, but if you could lead us through, you know, if you're, you know, maybe you have somebody that wants to attend one of these workshops on the beach in the Yucatan, you know, maybe just share a little bit of philosophy and insight to that to give people the experience, kind of whet the appetite of what a meditation through the path can do for them to help them move into the present moment and maybe escape the life that they want to leave, just like you did when you left New York and, you know, went on a soul adventure for 2 years in India.
Yeah. Well, so I was traveling all around the world, but was in India a lot. And it's so funny you're asking me to do this, Mark, because I was up till 1 a.m. last night writing an email about why people should join us on Mela. And by the way, people fly in from around the world. We have people come in from Abu Dhabi, Australia, all over Europe, literally around the world. So if people are interested, just email me at sit, like meditation, S-I-T, at thepath.com. So I have on my mind, since I just wrote a lot about this until the wee hours of the night last night, why retreat? So you just heard from my story. I went from being this Tasmanian devil-esque frenetic energy tech founder to being very present. I mean, I am so present, Mark, that if I'm with someone and talking with them, I might miss my next four appointments because I'm just 100% focused on that exact moment. Like, so sure, for you, wherever you are, everyone in the community, if you're walking, maybe look up and just notice what a leaf on a tree looks like just above you, or a gargoyle perhaps on a balcony that you've never noticed before. And if you're sitting, that's beautiful. I'm sitting right now. Just feel what the chair underneath you feels like, that actual texture, or the texture of your sleeve on your arm. So all of that we can do. We can train our minds 1,000 times a day to just come into the actuality of our lives. What is actually happening at this moment? Not the story, not this made up kind of dream that's happening of the thoughts swirling in my mind. But there is something about going on retreat. And science has not quite distilled this into a way that you could teach this at a graduate PhD program at Stanford or Harvard, but they will get there. Because when you're on retreat, you're with, you know, a number of other people at Mela, there'll be around 70 of us. You're with all of these like-minded people who might look different than you. They might be older, younger, different race, different background. They might have meditated a lot more or a lot less, but you will all have in common that you've chosen to be here. And you've chosen to become a better version of yourself, or at least we can say a calmer version of yourself. You've chosen to give yourself the gift of focusing on becoming a more relaxed version of yourself. And there is, Mark, there is something to that, to having not just one person working on this,
right,
but 30 people, 40 people, 50 people, 70 people, all together working to train their minds to over and over take the, what we call the monkey mind in the meditation world, or to start to use that beginner's mind that we have to train the brain to focus on the present. And so it is easier to do in a group on retreat. It is more fun to do it with a group on retreat. It is definitely more powerful to do that on retreat. So I definitely, in my first retreat, advanced my meditation practice at least a year, probably more like 2 years. And so if you want to accelerate these changes, everything that Mark is talking about on Inspired Radio, on Inspired Living, then a retreat is the best way to do that. You leave the hassles and the stress and the giving to family and work and everyone else, and you take this time, Ayla's just 3 nights, 4 days, 3.5 days, basically, and you give that to yourself. So it is incredibly powerful. And then to your question, what's the wisdom? So we have Henry Shuckman, who's been on Tim Ferriss's podcast twice recently, which is really cool, Zen and Theravada master, and Spring Washam, who is also a meditation master and a shaman and an author and a nonprofit leader. We have both of them leading. So I don't know exactly what their substance will be, but I do know that for sure they will talk about how can we bring more joy into our daily lives? How can we live with more happiness, more freedom, and more ease? And is that something we all need? Heck yeah.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially with today's, you know, transformation. I call this the renaissance of our roaring 20s with everything that's happening, which creates a lot of uncertainty, right? And uncertainty leads us to places like anxiety, depression, self-sabotage. And with everything going on in the world, I think there's no, well, it's always a good time to meditate, but it's even more it's even more urgent, I think, to move into a meditative practice, a daily practice, and then, of course, go to the retreats that you're talking, the Mela retreats. And we have, for our listeners out there, if you go to our Inspired Living radio and podcast Facebook page, we have those links under more information. That's the Mela retreat coming up in Florida in May, which is a world-renowned meditation retreat. That's thepath.com. /Mela apply. And then you also have a brand new 30 days to Meditator, an amazing online course, which will teach you a variety of meditation techniques in just 30 days. And you can visit that site at thepath.com/30 days. So we have both those links on the page for our Inspired listeners that want to go actually check those out, get registered. I wish I had the time to do that, because I agree with you. Retreats are transformative, especially when you have that intent and that energy and that frequency and that vibration of everybody coming together from all different walks of life to say, hey, we're going to get into the present moment, and we're going to make some real change, some vibrational change. And, you know, Buddha talked about this. He talked about if you light a lamp for someone else, it will also brighten your path. There's that word again, path.
Beautiful. And just a quick note that it was in Mexico, but now in Florida, and we moved it to Mexico. So it'll be even sunnier, and it's actually even faster to get to because we're 9-minute drive from the airport. So for most people, that means it's even easier to get to. Yeah. So that's really exciting. Okay. And yeah, so I would love to talk about 30 days to Meditator, because it's really innovative, and it's something I've been wanting to do for 8 years now, and we finally put it out there. So I'm really excited. But before we get there, we're actually today, launching a brand new meditation teacher training course. Yeah, I think it actually went live on our site maybe in the last hour since we've been speaking, Mark.
Great timing.
So I do want to share this with your, so it's awesome, really exciting timing. And I wanted to share this with your community, because people join this. So this is a meditation teacher training program, but even if you don't want to hold out a shingle and teach meditation, it's an extraordinary program. So it's live. And so you're in a class with people, which is really fun and exciting and dynamic. And people also meet friends for life in this course, even though it's online, because we have breakout rooms and pods. And so you really meet wonderful people. And even if you just want to be in a supportive, uplifting community, or you've maybe heard a little bit about the Buddhist wisdom, but you don't really remember it all, you don't really get it all, you're kind of interested in it, it's a great course to learn the fundamentals of the Buddhist wisdom. And then you learn to guide meditation. So even if you're guiding your mom or your unborn baby or your neighbor in your community, I think it's just a wonderful skill to have. And you could literally join it just because we kind of make you meditate every day. We set up an accountability system. So you're texting in every single day to say, oh, did my sit today? It went well, or it was hard, or it was thought filled. And I think it's really nice to have that accountability. So for all these reasons, I do want to open that up and encourage people to check it out. It's thepath.com/teacher.
/teacher. Okay. And that's the one that just launched today.
Sorry, what did you say, Mark?
Dina? Is that the one that just launched today then?
Thepath.com/teacher.
Yeah,
Yeah, we're really excited. So the class starts in April. You have time. There's plenty of time. You can also just send us a note at sit@thepath.com or just check it out at thepath.com/teacher. And it's truly an extraordinary program. It's really deep. And at the end of that 3 months, people, they've really shifted in a beautiful way. And again, you can join that from anywhere in the world.
Yeah. And that's the beauty of the metaverse and the digital transformation now that we've moved in to during our roaring 20s, that allows us to do things via the internet, via, you know, different, platforms where they have breakout rooms and just you're there, but you're there digitally, you're not there in person. So that's amazing. And I can definitely speak to this, because last year I did something similar called 45 Days to Transformation, which is the same concept of accountability and showing up, and you know, being able to have a group page and having those 45 days. And it was really it was eye-opening, but it was also very healing to the journey, and healing is definitely a big part of this. So I want to get to maybe an example, if we could, for the listening audience, just like I said, maybe whet their appetite, because this show goes by so very darn quick, and we only have just about 20 minutes left in the show. So is there something that you would like to like demonstrate or share, like a 5-minute meditation, guidance meditation, or is there something that folks that are listening to this can go look up on? Do you have like a YouTube following or a YouTube channel to actually, you know, get into doing these meditations and then also coming to the retreat? Is that something that you'd be up to do today?
Oh yeah, I'd love to do that. That would be great. I mean, we have an Instagram account, which is at the.path. Don't forget the path. The.path. But yeah, I would love to. Do you want me to guide you in a sit?
Yeah, let's do we have 20 minutes to work with. So if you 5 to 10 minutes, and I think the listening audience would just love to get a demo of how this works, because some of our listeners may have never tried meditation before, and this could be their first time of opening that path. We're just going to be using that all day today, opening that path to their transformation, if you will. So I'll go on mute. I will turn this over to you, and you take us prospecting to where you think is beneficial and transformative and healing for our listening audience. How's that sound?
That sounds awesome. All right. So if you are walking, you can continue to walk. I would just say to slow your pace a bit and feel what the pavement feels like underneath you, feel what your sock or your shoe feels like underneath you, and start to just open up your senses, open up your awareness to sight, smell, sound, taste, everything. And if you're sitting, I will invite you to scooch back a little bit in your chair or forward, or sofa, or whatever you're sitting on, so that your back is a little bit straighter than it usually would be. And you want to think about not having your head tipped forward or tipped up. You want to think about the top of your head is facing evenly up to the ceiling or the sky. And think about your chin as being parallel to the ground. You can allow your hands to just naturally fall wherever they naturally lie. And if you're sitting, don't do this if you're walking, unless you're in a field on your own. We don't want to get anyone into a dangerous situation. But if you're sitting, the invitation is there to either look ahead with a soft gaze, or if you choose, you can close your eyes. And so let's find the present moment. by allowing our attention to gently focus on the sensations of the breath. And let's specifically find the breath at the nostrils. And so with this mindfulness of the breathing body, this is part of what we would call the first foundation of mindfulness. We're not changing the breath in any way. So you're not breathing more quickly or less quickly. We're just learning to train the mind to focus on one thing. And with this meditation, we're choosing to focus on all of the sensations of the natural breath. So notice what the inhale feels like. Does it feel warm or cool, rushed or relaxed? And then tune your attention to notice what the exhale feels like. See if you notice any differences between the flow, the sensations, anything about the inhale versus the exhale. Notice if you feel a tingling sensation, perhaps at the very beginning of the inhale. And then see if you can bring a mindfulness to the last moment of the exhale, perhaps even noticing that sliver of a moment where there's no breath before you draw in the next inhale. See if you can focus your attention, your mind, on an entire inhale without the mind wavering. Can you hold your attention even for a second or a second and a half to that flow of the inhale? And might you possibly be able to hold your attention also for one full flow of an exhale? When a thought comes in, just allow that thought to float away like a cloud. It's wonderful if you've noticed a thought. You can smile to yourself. That is mindfulness in action. With this meditation, we are then just choosing to return our attention back to the breath. So all the benefits of this style of meditation are all in the return. So every thought is simply an invitation, as the great mindfulness teacher Sharon Salzberg would say, it's an invitation to return to the sensations of the breath. The great meditation teacher Jon Kabat-Zinn says, we have an opportunity for freedom under our noses in every moment. It. And what is that? What he's talking about is the freedom to not get lost in your thoughts, carving out freedom to choose to return that attention in our mind back to the sensation of the breath, carving out freedom, choose to shine the flashlight of our attention, as the author Anisha Jha would say, shine that flashlight of our attention back to the sensation of the breath. Notice once again, does that inhale feel cool or warm? Does that exhale feel rushed or relaxed? And now we can choose with the mindfulness we've carved out to relax all the muscles in our face. Relax the neck, the shoulders. Relax any part of the body that feels tense. And then see if you can once again train your attention on one full inhale. Follow it, notice it. And then see if you can be mindful of the sensations of a full exhale. And with that, we have just done a beautiful mindfulness of the breathing body meditation. If your eyes have been closed, you can open them. If you want to stretch your arms out in a nice big stretch, you can do that. You can stretch your legs out if that feels nice. And by doing just even the short meditation, we're reducing the production of cortisol, the stress hormone, all throughout the body. We are reducing inflammation in the body, increasing our immunity. We're flooding our internal organs with health. And when we calm our mind and clear out our mind, it actually calms and brings health to the whole body, because the brain stem and the brain and the mind is actually connected to the spinal cord. So there's a literal mind-body connection. So you can smile to yourself that you've done something wonderful for your mind, and you've also done something wonderful for your body. So can smile and kind of shrug your shoulders and give yourself a pat on the back.
I love that. Thank you so much, Dina. Live meditation here on Inspired Living. I always like to say for our listeners too, the one thing that I found in doing just, you know, 5-10 minute meditations to calm that monkey mind is getting your nervous system into a state of homeostasis, which from a medical term, homeostasis is a middle of the road balance, to where you're not in fight, you're not in flight, and you become more present and you become more aware. And you become more relaxed and in the moment of, tranquility and transformation and peace. And so for our listeners out there, try to get to that homeostasis, because life can throw a lot of fight or flights at you throughout the day. And, you know, Buddha, just going back to Buddha again, because he just had so many amazing, quotes, but just so much wisdom. He talked about, if you meditate earnestly, pure in mind and in kind in deeds, leading a disciplined life in harmony with the Dharma, you will grow in glory. If you meditate earnestly through spiritual disciplines, you can make an island for yourself that no flood can overcome. So, wow, that was awesome. So, just with the time that we have left, Dina, let me just see if there's, you've gone from the corporate world, jump ship, went down the spiritual pathways to start your own company, become an entrepreneur, now leading workshops with people all around the world. What do you think, with what's everything going on in our world, how do you think meditation could be incorporated at, I'm seeing it at different levels now, meditation and being talked about where it was never talked about. Like, for example, our education system, instead of going to detention, they're teaching you how to meditate. The police force, first responders, instead of starting your shift out with a cup of coffee, I know certain first responders that are actually coming into a group meditation to set a tone, if you will, for the shift ahead, right? Because first responders are responding to other people's traumas and tragedies and all the differences. But what do you think is going to be the future of meditation as we move forward in this very chaotic, transformative renaissance of our roaring 20s?
Haha, I love it. I kind of feel like I should have been in the 1920s. Like, the flapper dresses would have been so fun to wear. I think that what is clear is that meditation is important, but it's not enough. So I'm actually glad you mentioned that 30 Days to Meditate, or the brand new course that we do, because I thought for 8 years, how do I get people off of apps? So a lot of people that want to meditate, but they wake up in the morning and they need to turn on a phone and find an app and find a teacher and set a time and do all that in order to meditate. And one of my dreams is to teach people how to meditate on their own so that you don't ironically need to turn on your phone in order to meditate. But in preparing this course, I realized that, yes, in this course, which is at thepath.com/30days, and it's awesome, and it's actually half off right now, so go check it out. But I didn't feel like I could do this class with full integrity, only teaching people how to meditate, because I don't think that's enough in today's world. I think what we really need, and so to answer your question directly about the future of meditation, is that I think we need to focus on awareness. So you might notice this, I'm sure you do, when you're talking to people. Someone will be excited to meet you, and they ask you a question, and you're one syllable into answering it, and they interrupt you. You're like, well, wait a second. Why did you just ask me that question if you don't want to hear the answer? And it's not that that person is evil intentioned or a bad person in any way. It's right, just right. that we have lost our awareness. And I don't want to blame anything. It might be short viral clips. It might be people looking at their phones so often. Whatever it is, it's an issue. It's almost like its own pandemic, dare I say. Is that we've lost awareness. And so I think the new superpower is cultivating awareness. So in that 30 days to meditator course, and then also in as part of the teacher training, now we have challenges every week. One of them, hopefully you'll laugh with me. This podcast is aside when it's kind of my job to talk. So please forgive me for that. But one of the challenges is to literally talk less. How freaking awesome is that? I'm sure everyone wants to give this to their spouse. So for 30 days also, there are every week, and sometimes more than once a week, there's an awareness exercise. How do you open up your awareness? One of them, by the way, will be to shift from only optimizing for yourself, which I know we do naturally. I probably used to naturally do this also, but shift from that to optimizing for everyone. And that might be the person you're talking with, or the barista if you're ordering a coffee or tea, or it could be all the people that are around you in line. Like someone cuts you in line and you're so mad. Definitely that's my first instinct. And then I might think, you know, maybe this is a man whose wife just gave birth and he needs to run back and get food for the mom and the baby. And just say, you know what, like it's one person in line in front of me. It's 30 more seconds. Like just go ahead of me. So it's a way in the end, let's be honest, of just to live with more ease, like not be so brittle, to be on edge that everyone's, you know, trying to chip away at your happiness all day. It's probably not the case. So how do we live with more ease? I think the answer to that is to live with more awareness. And I love teaching awareness to the people that want to learn it. To the people that don't, we'll just let them do their thing and we can be the lighthouse. The Buddha said, actually, I think his dying words were, be your own guiding light. So may we all get there.
And be the lighthouses that attract those that are searching out in the darkness for that light within their own journey. Mm. I love that. And if again, you can go to our Facebook page or our Instagram page or our Twitter page or our YouTube channel, and the links will be there, thepath.com/ Mela apply, or thepath.com/30days, or thepath.com/teacher. So we didn't get that one on there because that just released today, but I'm sure the other sites will tie in at some point. So make sure to check that out. Give it a go for one of these amazing retreats. And just with the last few minutes we have here, Dina, I always like to ask my guests, what or who inspires you for today's journey, for today's soul adventure?
Ooh, I mean, honestly, I'm very inspired by the Buddha. I love that he had that courage to go back and talk to that group of friends that had kind of eschewed him. I have spent some time with Matthieu Ricard, who's a very good friend of the Dalai Lama, a French Buddhist monk who's known as the happiest man in the world. To be in his presence is it's a life experience. I once hosted an event with him where I hosted a fundraiser for his nonprofit that does a lot of good work in Nepal. So I was next to him for hours and hours and hours and hours. And by the end of that, I could not stop smiling ear to ear. I could not. It was like this wave
of happiness.
You're making
me smile.
Yeah, right? And there's a wave
of happiness. You're making me smile just talking about it.
Me. Yeah, exactly. And I had it for a week. It was like, I don't do drugs, but it was like I was high because of how high vibe he was. So he inspires me. And honestly, the people that inspire me could be someone that just walks into a coffee shop in a city or wherever that just has a lightness with them that talks to the person behind the counter if they're ordering their green juice or whatever and really looks them in the eye rather than looking down on their phone. People that live with lightness, and I seek to live that way, and I sometimes am there and I'm not always there. So the people that have found that ease, that lightness, that awareness that lets them look at others, even strangers, directly in the eye with an eye on knowing that they're human too, they inspire me.
Awesome. Well, keep up the great work. Keep inspiring. Thank you again, Dina Kaplan, for being our special guest today here on Inspired Living. I'm going to close this with a closing quote from the great Buddha, and he said this: meditation brings wisdom. Lack of meditation leaves ignorance. Know well what leads you forward and what holds you back, and choose the path that leads to wisdom. So thank you for tuning into today's show. Again, you can get all of our information at our social media pages. If you want more information on today's guest and how to get that, you can go to our Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or YouTube channel to get those links. And again, Dina, thank you for being on the show. You are a true inspiration. And until our next soul adventure together, be kind, be caring, be compassionate. And most importantly, wherever you're at in this world, dare to dream, dare to explore, dare to live. And I hope you discover that diamond within. This is Inspired Living Radio. We'll see you next time.